A reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 20. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, and when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that as Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. The times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they had saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and feet? That it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
In our Gospel reading in Luke chapter 24, verse 48, it says, "You are witnesses of these things." Did you notice in the text that Jesus addresses the disciples? When he does not say that you will be witnesses. He does not say, "Please be witnesses." He does not say, "Consider being a witness if you have the time." No, it is, "You are witnesses of these things." We are witnesses. As it turns out, witnessing is not voluntary. It's a state of being. Now, at this point, we can have a little bit of a discussion and flesh out what things are required of a witness. You are witnesses of these things. Perhaps these things are the real bodily resurrection of our Lord. Perhaps these things are the subject matter of Jesus' own confession. For example, the suffering of the Messiah, rising on the third day, the proclamation and repentance and forgiveness of sins. Or perhaps these things are the totality of Jesus' ministry. After all, Jesus' whole life was a witness to the holistic character of God's salvation. And so, in case we need another prompt to help us determine who we are, Let's look at Peter's words in Acts chapter 3, verse 15. He says, "We are witnesses of this." So the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts were written by the same author. Many Bible scholars believe that they should stand together as two chapters of the same book. However, what should be Luke's continuous story is punctuated by John's Gospel in our Bibles. However, if we were to read from our Gospel text right into the book of Acts, we would see very clearly that for the people of God in the book of Acts, the empty tomb of Easter eventually propels them to tell. And they do tell through words and deeds what they have seen and what they know. If an empty tomb does not get you and I out and beyond these four walls through words and deeds, then it's hard to imagine what it will take this morning. And there starts the problem. That's a massive part of the problem this morning. It seems to me that many of us are waiting around for a more magnificent revelation of God's activity before we're willing to witness through words and deeds for and about our God. As if our God, who defeated death, who toppled empires, whose salvation seeks to go to the ends of the earth, all of this is just not enough to prompt our willingness to witness through our words and our deeds. So what are we waiting for this morning? What more do we need? What are we afraid of? These are good questions to ask ourselves this morning. But more so, Jesus and Peter remind us that while we're busy expecting another miracle to come our way, a miracle that might prompt our willingness to witness through words and deeds, our silence and our looking the other way and our inaction all testify and also speak volumes to those outside these four walls. How often we forget that our words and our deeds, or lack thereof, are indeed giving witness to how we imagine God to be. We have an opportunity, a good opportunity, to stop and pause and reflect and pray and say, God, just what are my words and deeds saying about you to those outside of these four walls? I suspect that many of us hearing that we are witnesses is not necessarily good news to you, because that one biblical fact might cause us to remember how often we have declined our identity, or caused us to remember how often we have deferred testimony to others, or how often we have determined that our witness won't make a difference anyway, so why bother? But the hard truth to hear this morning is that in all doing any of these things, we deny the truth of who we are and who Jesus needs us to be. And so we give up confessions about God, and not enough people do get to hear or experience, and we forgo the fact that we are not giving witness to God. And so this is where the rubber meets the road this morning. The biblical statement that we are witnesses is not only who we are, but also who others see God to be. The biblical statement that we are witnesses points both to our calling as well as to our commitment to that calling. The biblical statement that we are witnesses gives witness to our own selves, or our faith and our own belief as well. And that's the hardest truth to hear this morning, that perhaps we don't believe in the identity that God has given us. Perhaps we don't believe God needs that identity. Perhaps we don't believe others will see it. And we don't believe that it actually matters this morning. And if all that is true, and even if it's true in part, then we are denying God's expanded horizons. And we deny God's relentless attempts to expand our imaginations. Now, these are hard things to hear on a Sunday morning. And you might be thinking to yourself in your hearts right now, Pastor Neil, I thought you loved us. And there is only one answer to that question. I do. I love you so much that I need to tell you that we are witnesses. Whether you believe it or not, or how much you believe it, it doesn't really matter. We are witnesses. It doesn't depend on your acceptance or agreement or your approval. We are witnesses. It doesn't depend on our readiness or our recognition or our responsiveness. We are witnesses. Can someone say amen or oh me? We are witnesses. That just is. And there's a lot, and there lies the good news this morning. Left to our own devices, we'd make up every excuse imaginable to relinquish such a responsibility. We'd convince ourselves that more qualifications are required to justify this calling. We'd find other cracks and openings through which we could escape the calling. So my challenge to you all this Eastertide is that we all stop our ceaseless attempts to convince ourselves that we have a choice or that we can carry out this calling just as soon as we are adequately prepared or that we can graciously or even politely and respectfully avoid God's claim on us. You may be wondering how we can witness to something we haven't seen. In the story about doubting Thomas, as we saw last week, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who haven't seen and still believe." How can we believe if we haven't seen? How can we testify to something we did not personally witness? The truth is, someone did witness it. Once there existed a real flesh and blood group of people who said, "We saw him. We saw his hands and feet. We saw him eat. We heard him offer peace." And those people told others, who told others, who wrote it down, who passed it on. And now we hold it in our hands and in our hearts. We stand on the shoulders of the disciples who saw with their own eyes what we know is in our hearts to be true this morning. And so it is not completely accurate for us to say we haven't witnessed the presence of the living Christ, because we have. We have. We haven't heard him say peace to you, but we've seen the power of his reconciling love and his ability to help heal divisions. We've seen that. Although Jesus may not appear in bodily form and share a meal, his presence is tangible around a kitchen table with friends talking about the gospel. His presence is tangible around the coffee table. His presence is tangible around this table. We have witnessed Christ in our midst. We have witnessed Christ in our midst. It's not enough that the tomb is empty. It's not enough to proclaim Christ is risen. It's not enough to believe in the resurrection. At some point, we have to move from the event of the resurrection to experience the resurrection. Experiencing the resurrected life begins with recognizing the risen Christ amongst us. That's the gift of Easter this morning. And it is also the difficulty and the challenge described in today's gospel. In each of those moments, the one who is fully alive and risen, the Christ, he is calling us to see. He is calling us to recognize him, to join him, and to discover new life in him. This is the authentic self we long to become, the self that we already are, and the self we are becoming. Beloved, this is the resurrected life. Let's not lose this moment. Let's not put this Easter text behind us. It is far too easy to come here each Sunday morning, listen to the gospel, and hear, for better or for worse, whatever I have to say, and then return to life as usual. My friends, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Your life is too important this morning to let that happen. Carry this text with you over the next week. Let it open your eyes. Let it open your heart and your mind to the life Christ is offering you. Let it be the voice of Christ opening your mind to understanding. Sit with it. Pray with it. Wrestle with it. Trust it. As soon as you catch a glimpse of the risen Christ and your own resurrection, then tell somebody. Tell somebody, you are witnesses of these things. Tell it, live it, become it. The resurrected life is yours. You are witnesses. So let's look at some practical ways that we can witness. We launched our church's 2024 to 2026 Mission Action Plan on February 4. Now, if you don't have a copy, there are hard copies in the narthex on that beautiful, lovely stand that Maggie Hatton bought. Thank you, Maggie. There's also soft copies. Now, you know what a soft copy is? A digital copy, all right, on our church's website. And it's under the vision and mission section of the website. So there's how you get to it. About. And you get into that part there, then you click on vision and mission, and there it is right there. It's a soft copy. It'll open up to you like a digital book. It's fantastic. So on our mission action plan, on page 10 and 11, we talk about establishing presence. All right, we talk about that. As a church, we need to establish presence. Our charge and our commission as given by Jesus to the disciples is simply this: you are witnesses of these things. We are called to witness, to testify to the work of God in this world, to testify to the presence of God in this world. Now, I'm not asking you to stand on the street corner and be a maniac street preacher, but I will say that everyone in this room has a gospel megaphone available to them. It's called social media. It's called Facebook. It's called YouTube. It's called Google. Now, Holy Spirit Anglican Church has a Google profile. How many reviews do you think we have on our Google profile? 12. We have 12 reviews. Go to the next slide, Ryan. There we go. We have a lovely Google page. Look, everything about our church is laid out on Google. It's fantastic. Our website designer did that for us. Everything's laid out. Who we are, our partners in ministry, our story, our name, our contacts, our team. Everything is laid out. And we have 12 Google reviews. They're lovely 5-star reviews, mind you. But there's only 12. Willie, thank you for giving a review. Thank you. I think she's the only one besides me in the room that's given a review. We have a gospel megaphone. Here's one way to do it. Could you imagine having 100 views on that page? Bill, what happens when you get 100 reviews on your Google page? What happens to the algorithm? It goes up, doesn't it? And what happens is you start getting images like this. This is suggested for you. Could you imagine them advertising us for free? They are. This came up on my Facebook page. My Facebook page is not connected back to the Holy Spirit Facebook page. And it said, hey, you like Anglican stuff, Neil. You might like Holy Spirit Anglican Church. So if you start liking the stuff I put up on Facebook, if you start resharing stuff, some of your friends, some people you might not even know, will get, hey, people are starting to like this. Why don't you join it? Can I say, If you have a Gmail account, please, please, please go to the Google profile and give it a 5-star review and say something nice. And why do I say that? It's because the algorithm works. The algorithm works. More positive reviews means more presence that the church will get in the search engine. And so let's try and get those 100 reviews and let's spread the word. It's the same on Facebook and the same on YouTube. I put a lot of content up on our Facebook page and our church's YouTube page, so please like them, reshare them. You don't have to listen to them. I know you come here on Sunday morning and listen to me bang my gums together. I'm not saying go and listen to them again. Just like them, reshare them, add a positive comment or two, because those things it tweaks the algorithm. And more people online will hear about Jesus and the power of his reconciling love. So to start with, everyone in the room has a gospel megaphone available to them. And if you use social media wisely, I know some of you think it's the devil, I understand that. But if you use it wisely, it's a good place to start, to be a witness. Now, I have heard a lot of stories about some of you, how you like to go clothes shopping and trying on garments, and how you like to look at yourself in the mirror, in that full-length mirror before you buy them. It's gone quiet. Is she talking about me? So my challenge to you is this. Why not try on We Are Witnesses, like a jacket? See how it feels. See if you like it. Wear it around. Do that for a while. And maybe then, maybe even, you'll show yourself joyful, as Psalm 98 verse 5 said in our Bible reading. Show yourself joyful. Fake it till you make it. Who knows? Maybe then you might start to believe it, hey? Because witnessing is not optional. It's not sporadic. It's not patchy. It's an activity of faith. It's not something you can decide to do one day and then resolve to take the day off the next day. It's constant. It's a way of life. It's who you are. We are witnesses. Say it together with me. We are witnesses. Ah, come on, better than that. We are witnesses. Amen. Let's pray. Miraculous God, come to us now. Even as your Son came to those first disciples on the shores of Galilee, speak your peace into our hearts. Touch us with your Holy Spirit. Reveal your word that we may hear your message this day and live as your disciples in the days and the years to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.